The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, yes. And if you've never done this, I would challenge you. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There are 31 days in the month of March. So today being the 17th, you could read the 17th chapter. Tomorrow being the 18th, read the 18th chapter. So you always know where you are. But because every verse is concentrated wisdom, let me encourage you. If you've never done this for your devotions, I want to encourage you to do this. Open your Bible to, let's say, we go to Proverbs 17. And then you pray, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to me. And then you start reading. And when something catches your eye, stop. Now, if you're OCD and you got to finish the chapter, put a little check mark next to the one where God caught your attention. Because by process, do you really honestly think the devil wants you to stop and meditate on something? No, he wants you to get to the bottom of the chapter and remember nothing. He wants you to get to the bottom of the chapter and check a box and go, I feel good about myself and go on about my day. So because you prayed and said, Lord, speak to me, I'm listening. Now, this will work anywhere, in any chapter of Scripture. Lord, I'm listening, speak to me. And then you read, and when something catches your eye, maybe something goes bold for just a second. Maybe it's a word you don't understand. Maybe it's like, what did he say? And you back up the truck and you reread it. You need to stop at that verse, and that needs to be the verse you meditate on today. Remember, you just got done asking God to do what? Speak to me. So God, like a traffic cop, flags you down at a specific verse. Trust me, the devil doesn't want you to memorize a verse of Scripture. He doesn't want it. It'll make you powerful. It will make you dangerous to his kingdom if you were to hide the word in your heart. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, the Bible says, you know, Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, what does that mean? I'm not making decisions based on what the world and lost people think. I need to be making it on what God's word says. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. I don't need to be acting like them. I don't need to be embodying their character. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful to think myself so proud that I can pass judgment on others. Verse 2 of Psalms 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's right there on the screen in front of you. The word meditate means to run through your mind, to think about. We think of modern meditation as to sit there and empty your mind and open yourself to what? To the demonic? Because that's the other spirit that's out there that'll speak to you. So by process of elimination, you want to talk to God and have God talk to you. So when you pray and you say, Lord, speak to me, I'm listening. And you read through a section of Scripture and God catches your attention. Make that the verse you meditate on. Take it out. The folks that are going through my personal discipleship right now, I have transitioned several of them to a journal. And in the journal, there's tear out 3x5 cards where you write today's verse on it. And then you, on the back, write it in your own words. What does it mean? What are they saying? And then you memorize that verse throughout the day. And you ask the Holy Spirit questions. Is this a promise I can claim? Is this a sin I must avoid? Is this a principle I must live? Is this a promise? Is this a command? Is this, you know, and you talk to the Holy Spirit and you listen and you meditate. You run it through your mind. While you're there with your hand in Proverbs, you can jump back to Joshua. Joshua 1 and verse 8. I'm going to preach a full message on this, but tonight I want to help you for just a second. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1:8. We'll be back in Proverbs in just a second. Joshua 1:8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Look, reading Bible's good. You're supposed to read your Bible, but the goal of reading your Bible is to hear from God. not just to check a box, okay? It's not Bible readers who are blessed, it is Bible meditators. So it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You're going to memorize it. Why? So look at it, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? Why would I do that? Why would I bother? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, so that you can obey it, so that you know what it says. Now, I always say this, and I know it, but I just, repetition is the key to learning. There's a lot of things out there, a lot of voices, and they sound spiritual, and they sound logical. But the question is, are they scriptural? Are they actually talking about what saith the Lord? Or are they talking about some bent on it? And the only way you'll know that is if you read and meditate the scripture. Look what the last part of that verse says. If you'll do this, if you'll memorize so you can meditate, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's a promise from your Savior that if you'll read so that you can meditate, so you can hear from God, and then whatever God flags you down for, you meditate on it. So if you've never done this before, I'd love for you to just take a proverb a day. And again, if you have to read to the end of the chapter, fine. But I want you to pray, and then I want you to go to a chapter in Proverbs, and I want you to read till God flags you down. And I want you to meditate. I want you to do that for 30 days, and I'm telling you, God will bless you. You'll hear from God. Imagine hearing from God 7 days a week. Imagine God intervening in your life every single day and giving you something. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but God knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows who you're going to have a meeting with. He knows how that meeting is going to go. He knows whether they're going to be deceptive or they're going to be truthful. He knows whether they're going to be forthright or they're going to be trying to pass blame. And God promises to give us discernment. He also promises to give us patience and other things. And so when you start to pray over Scripture and you start saying, Lord, is this a command I should follow? Lord, is this a principle I need to live? Is this a sin I need to avoid? Is this a promise I need to claim? The next thing you start to ask is, Holy Spirit, what should I be asking for? You know, Holy Spirit knows what you need tomorrow. I don't know if you realize that, but he knows. And he'll tell you, because his spirit bears witness with our spirit, the Bible says. So go back to Proverbs, anywhere in Proverbs, because we're about to get started. The book of Proverbs is a book of contrasts, good versus evil. And today we're going to look at the contrast between the rich man and the poor man. The poor man and the rich man are opposite of each other. The word poor means destitute of property, not having sufficient or comfortable sustenance. He does without many things, but many times because he has no alternative. His income is considerably less than adequate. Many times, not always. You saw me make the disclaimer. Not always, but many times. We find ourselves poor because of bad choices we make. Do you find that you've ever made bad choices? Have your bad choices cost you? They have. Imagine if the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that 90% of my problems are self-inflicted. Now, I'm my own worst enemy. What if, I know this is crazy, but what if God spoke to you through the Word and you could avoid today's problem because you heard from God? How would your life be if you had one less problem? A little better, wouldn't it? You see, it sounds crazy, but no, that's exactly what God wants you to do. And many times it's our choices that has caused problems in our life. And the book of Proverbs shows 8 different ways that we become poor. In Proverbs, he focuses specifically on laziness. There's 4 specific times he uses the word slothfulness. And listen, being poor isn't a sin. It's not a sin. But sometimes it can be caused by sin. Right? Wrong? Am I crazy? You think, well, you're just being mean. No, I walked my kids through the liquor aisle when they were little and said, this will ruin your life. This will rob your money. This will rob your health. It'll steal your youth. It'll destroy your relationships. If you want to be homeless and divorced, and just go on and drink this stuff. This stuff will ruin you. And you think to yourself, well, how horrible. How horrible are you to judge people like that? No, I can't save every pup in the pound. But I need my kids to understand. I need your kids to understand. There are certain choices they're going to make that will change their life for the bad. Do you ever have places in your life you wish you could back the truck up and make a different choice? You made a choice at the time that seemed insignificant. That is the scariest part about Satan. He makes us, well, he doesn't make us, he presents us with a choice, but he makes it seem like a small choice. And he does it in our own voice, in our head, and it sounds like it was our idea. He's smart like that. But don't you wish there are some things in your life you could back the truck up on and say, man, I wish I'd have turned left instead of right. I wish I'd have chose this instead of that. I wish I would have listened or at least asked questions. What if you could hear from the Holy Spirit each day? And the Holy Spirit would direct you in a way that did not bring pain or another problem. So when I talk about the poor man, please don't think I'm judging poverty or I'm judging people. I just know that my mistakes have cost me. That my mistakes have cost me a lot. That I'd probably be better financially, better off in other ways, had I not made those choices, had I listened to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the opposite of the poor man is the rich man. He is wealthy. He possesses things. The Bible doesn't condemn the rich, but it does warn them about covetousness. It does warn the rich not to worship their wealth because money's just a tool. Money has no inherent value. I'd love it if you were all millionaires and tithe. That'd be great, but listen, wealth is not sinful, but the desire for more for the sake of having more is covetousness. Becoming rich should not be our ultimate goal. The Christian's primary purpose for making money is to sustain his family and to further the cause of Christ. But the laboring just to have my own personal wealth and more, though, we walk a dangerous path. In Luke 12:21, the Bible says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." God's desire, yeah, is that we prosper, but in a way that he is able to still stay on the throne and not us worship our wealth. Proverbs 10:22, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich." He addeth no, I think it says, it addeth no sorrow to it. Yeah. Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." It's not about how much we have, but it's about what we do with what we have. So the actions of a poor man is he will not hear rebuke. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 8. Many times those that are suffering from self-inflicted mistakes, from their mistakes, problems from their mistake, is because they would not hear correction. Look what it says in Proverbs 13 and verse 8. "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." The actions of somebody who finds themselves in poverty many times is because they won't listen to advice. They refuse instruction. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 18. It says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Oh, if I would have just listened. Oh, if I would have just asked questions. Oh, if I would have got advice. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Many people, I would say the majority of this church, are educated and know something about something. If we're not too proud to ask, we could get good advice from the people sitting next to you.
You know, our deacon is one of the godliest men I've ever met. He and his wife are fabulous. And they've bought a few houses and sold a few houses. They bought a few cars and sold a few cars. And they've made some investments and done things and worked professionally. And they probably got some advice they could give, or at least what to avoid, if we are not too proud to ask. The actions of a poor man is not only will he not hear correction or receive instruction, he does not expect anyone to help. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 23. Proverbs 18 and verse 23. He does not expect others. It says, the poor useth entreaties. They beg, they want help, but the rich answereth roughly. Bartimaeus on the roadside in Mark 10 called out and did not expect Jesus to come until he heard it was Jesus. And then through imposition, then through desperation, called out. Don't be afraid of desperation, brothers and sisters. When circumstances become the most dire, that's when we usually get the most motivated in our prayer life. We're willing to surrender our pride at that point, and we're willing to seek God and put it all on him. I know that's what we should have done the first time. That's what we should have done at the beginning. But typically, it's a sense of desperation that drives us to a place where we're willing to actually put God to the test. The consequences of a poor man is he is hated by his neighbor. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. Proverbs 14 and verse 20. The Bible says the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Yeah, but are they real friends? Are they just friendly to you because of what you have? Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Not only is the poor man hated by his neighbor, he's hated by his brethren. Now, why am I talking about this? Because when we make choices counter to the word of God, the consequences are always bad. And you cannot sin and win. You cannot violate scripture and expect God to just let it go. You don't reward bad behavior at your house, do you? You correct your kids. You talk to them. You instruct them. And if they're going to continue to go their way, they're either going to fall under the judgment of mom and dad, or they're going to go live on their own, depending upon how old they are. Is that only happen at my house? I mean, you're all just sitting there. Are you with me? Come on now. We correct our kids, right? Because we love them. Well, God loves you. And if you do things that are contrary to the scripture, you can expect God to step in and initiate correction. When we could have just went to him first and said, Lord, I'm listening. Teach me. And then you read. And then something jumps out at you. And then you stop. And then you do you honestly think there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that's not worthy to be memorized? Seriously, in all 66 books, do you honestly think there's a piece of it that's not? I mean, the who but God who's. You think to yourself, oh my soul, why would you ever memorize that? Because it tells you the timeline and the history of the ancestry of Jesus. And in the middle of the who but God who's, just about the time you fall asleep, you find out there was a gigantic earthquake and the continents divided. You think to yourself, that's just crazy. No, the Bible speaks of it. The world is the way it is today because the flood happened. And the continents are the way they are because the flood happened. And that's what you learn from the who but God who's. The consequences of a poor man is he makes bad choices. And because of the consequences of his choices, he's hated by his neighbor. He's separated by his brethren. Have you ever met somebody whose drugs and alcohol have separated their family to where the families had to put them out? Because they're dragging the whole family down. And you think, how horrible. Well, it hadn't happened to you then. Hadn't happened to you yet. Had a lady in our church in Arkansas. She loved her daughter so much. Her daughter would get physically violent and punch her in the face, steal her debit card, bankrupt her to buy drugs and alcohol. Till finally, the mother literally sold the house, moved to another state, and didn't tell her daughter. Our choices not only affect us, it affects the people around us. It makes us poor. It can bankrupt us. It can hurt us. It can hurt them. Letter C is forsaken by his friends. Proverbs 19:7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. Why? Because his bad choices now spills over into their lives. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Our bad choices many times make us poor, and they make us ruin our relationships with people. And end up in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender, Proverbs 22:7 says.
Now, what are the actions of the rich man in contrast? Well, he thinks he's so proud. He doesn't make those stupid mistakes. And look at me, I am wealthy. He answers roughly, Proverbs 18:23. That means he's rough on people. He thinks he has a right to abuse people. And he rules over the poor, Proverbs 22:7. And he's wise in his own conceit, Proverbs 28 and verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. Why? Because he thinks, look at me. Look how smart I am. I invested in this. And look at me. I have all this going on for me. I must be smart.
Proverbs 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The poor understands, I don't need what he has.
The consequences of the rich is he has friends. Proverbs 14 and verse 20. The Bible reads, the poor is hated of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Yeah, but are they real? Proverbs 19 and verse 14. The Bible says, wealth maketh, look at this, Proverbs 19:14. Am I in the right verse? 19:4, excuse me. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Proverbs 19:6, many will treat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. You'll find out who your real friends are when the money's gone, when the problems happen. That's when you figure out who your real friends are. Now, in Proverbs, he says there are several ways that you can become poor. Number one is to be slothful. Look at Proverbs 6 and verse 9. Proverbs 6 and verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Being slothful, deciding that I would rather sleep and entertain myself. The end of it will be poor. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich, Proverbs 10:4. The word slack means idle and slothful. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Sloth is a problem in today's society and in today's children. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. The Bible reads, I went to the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof is broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. How many people do you know that just they don't want to look at their problems, they don't want to deal with their problems, they just want to avoid it, they want to hide from it. Eventually it all catches up. You can't escape it. How to become poor? Be slothful. Number two, be selfish and greedy. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse 24. You want to be poor? Be selfish. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. The Bible reads, There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but tendeth to poverty. Be selfish. Be self-centered. You'll find yourself poor. To be poor, you also need to lack judgment. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 23. The Bible says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Don't care what's right. Don't care what's true. Just care what makes you comfortable, and you'll become poor. Love sleep. We just read that. Love pleasure. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Love pleasure and entertainment more than your duties and responsibilities. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich.
Be a drunkard. Proverbs 23 in verse 21. The Bible says, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Be a glutton. Be a drunkard. Be self-centered. Be slothful. Be selfish. You'll be poor. How to be rich? Proverbs 3:16 tells us to get wisdom. To get wisdom. Look what it says. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Get wisdom. It'll be a crown to the wise, Proverbs 14:24 says. Through wisdom is a house builded, Proverbs 24 and verse 3. And by knowledge shall thy chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant things, Proverbs 24:4. There is, in the Bible, truths that if you violate them, yeah, they're going to ruin you. There are truths in the Bible if you live. God will bless what you do. You want to be rich? Get wisdom. Number two, be diligent. Proverbs 10 and verse 4. The word diligent means that you don't have to be the best or the fastest, but you got to be willing to stick to it until it's done. That's what diligent means. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You may not be the smartest in your office. You may not be the wisest. You may not be the most talented, but if you can stick to it till it's done, you will be wealthy. You will be okay. You'll be blessed of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22 says. But also, the way to be rich is to work, Proverbs 13 and verse 11. Look what the Bible says. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Proverbs 23:5 says. For riches certainly make thyself wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. But work, putting our hand to it, receiving an inheritance, yes, but being humble and fearing the Lord, Proverbs 22:4. So God gives them warnings. In the book of Proverbs, he not only tells you how the poor act and how the rich act, he also tells you how to become one or the other. He warns you. The warnings for the poor. We're to give to the poor. Proverbs 14 and verse 21, we're to give to the poor. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. When you give, you give. You don't loan. You give, and you give it as if you're giving it to the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. God will recompense it on you for good. He that giveth to the poor shall have no lack, Proverbs 28:27 said. But to those who will reproach God and oppress the poor and mock the poor, you will reap what you sow, because God hears them. God hears them. The warning to the rich man, do not trust in your riches, Proverbs 11 and verse 28. They can be taken. Proverbs 11, 28, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Those that are rich, don't oppress the poor so you can increase your riches. God sees. God will recompense. Do not labor after it. It's covetousness. That's what Proverbs 23:4 says. Proverbs 23:5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. Listen, it's uncertain. Do you realize the market goes up, the market goes down? I've lived through the last housing bubble. How many were in a house at the housing bubble and found yourself upside down on a house when you bought it, when everybody said it was a good deal, and now you're upside down? That's how fast things can change. Do not make haste to be rich, Proverbs 28:20 says. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste. There are no get-rich-quick schemes. There really isn't. There really isn't. If it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Well, what all does this have to do? Well, a person who's poor can be better than those that are rich, because to have integrity is better. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. The poor is better than a liar, Proverbs 19 and verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than the rich man if he walks uprightly. Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich. The truth is, the contrast still stands. And every one of us sees the examples in our lives. And sometimes we're that example. Where we've made decisions without consulting the Lord, it typically costs us. In those times when we've made decisions by seeking counsel from godly people and asking for advice and being corrected in our thinking when our thinking is wrong, it always seems to pay off because God said it would. But it all starts with hearing from God. Are we too busy to consult the one who knows everything? I mean, there's probably somebody at your office, you know, hey, if I go ask them, they'll know how to fix it. Or if I go ask this person, they'll know what I should do to make this work. Or I've got this problem, and I bet you if I can get just 5 minutes with so-and-so, it'll fix it. How would you like to have 5 minutes with God? What could you learn? What problems could you avoid? What advantage could you have in avoiding problems if we just consult the Lord? Proverbs is concentrated wisdom. So if every day you would say, Lord, I'm listening. Some of us take medication every day. I take vitamins every day. And when I don't take them, I don't feel up to par. I want you to think about Bible memory as your meds. It's your Bible med. To take it every day. To stop and say, Lord, I acknowledge you as my creator. God, I acknowledge you as the source of all wisdom. I acknowledge you as the one who knows everything. And I consult you because Jesus said I could. John chapter 15, he said, I will send the comforter and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. In John 17, when Jesus prayed, he prayed that that God would hear our prayers and answer. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15 that we know we have this confidence in him that he hears us if we ask anything according to his will. So when you pray in the morning and you say, God, listen, I'm listening. I need you to speak to me. I don't know what I need today, but I know you know. So Father, I'm asking, speak to me. And then that's it. You don't got to get real flowery. And start reading. And when something jumps off, when something catches, maybe it's a word you don't understand. Stop and break that verse down. Look up the words you don't understand. Write it on a card or put it in the notepad of your phone and start reading it 5 times out loud in the morning, 5 times at lunch, 5 times at dinner, 5 times before you go to bed, and you'll have it by that time. By bedtime, you will have it committed to memory. Next to it, in your notepad, write, what does it mean? What does it mean? What is he saying? Ask the Holy Spirit those questions. Wouldn't it be great if God spoke and we actually followed his advice? He's honor bound to bless us for it. I can tell you right now that all of my problems that I can think of right off the top of my head were decisions I made without consulting the Lord, without even bringing God into the equation. I just thought I knew. I was wise in my own conceits, not knowing what I would face that day. When the ultimate wisdom is at my fingertips and I carry it in my pocket. I mean, I consult this phone for weather. I consult this phone for calendar. I consult this phone for news. I consult this phone for all the different things. Why don't I start consulting God? When the app on my phone will tell me what God thinks. If I'll just, is it an app you use? We use it when we thought of a verse and we don't know where it's at, that's for sure. But do you ever use the Bible as your pathway to the wisdom of God? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and let's take a moment and pray. God's wisdom is accessible to you night and day. God's wisdom is at your disposal. God's wisdom and instruction and correction is yours. It's yours. It's already been provided. Following his word, we don't just, it's not about wealth, it's about being rich in him and rich toward God. Because denying him and living contrary to him, it's not going to advance us. Our Father and our God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's written in a way we can understand it. Thank you, Father, that you've written it and we can consult it daily. And Father, today I challenge myself to find and seek you before starting my day. Even for just a few moments, Father, we need to hear from you each day with a truth we can live and apply. And Father, help us to commit to just those few minutes to start, and then burden us with a hunger for more. And Father, prove yourself, make yourself real in these moments. And if there's one among us who's lost, God, give them the courage to step out and come forward and to receive Christ as their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. She begins to play and sing, "Won't you commit now? Lord, I can only spend a few minutes, but God, I need you more than I need anything else. And each day I'm going to ask you for help, and I'm going to expect to hear. Won't you pray?"
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay.
Won't you just give God a couple of minutes in the morning? Won't you just take a second, talk to him, and ask him for help? Ask him to speak to you. And then read.
Change my heart.
He'll answer. Trust me, he wants you to hear from him more than you want to hear from him.
May I be like you.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And we thank you, God, that your promises are ours to claim. And Father, that you have wait at the precipice of heaven just to hear from us. Father, you desire to hear our voice as we talk to you. And Father, you desire that we hear your voice as you speak to us through your Spirit. And we ask, Holy Spirit, each morning, you would give us a hunger for your word. And that we would hear and apply. And your voice would ring true. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do in our life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.